Okay, good morning. So, from what I understand from the other shiur, we're up to the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Actually, two very amusing stories today to start off our day. The Mishnah tells us, Ma'aseh b'zachar shel rechelim zakein. So, there's this old animal, this old sheep, ram, whatever it was, and usa'or miduldal, its hair was really hanging down, and Rashi says it looked like it had never been shorn in its life. Very old, right? I was commenting this morning at the first daf that, right, the halachos of mourning, that following when someone tells you, you look disheveled, you look like you need a shave, that's when it's a good time to get a shave. So that's exactly what happens here. Ra'ahu kastor echad, some castor, which is some type of government official, comes and sees this animal. Vamar Mativo shows that. What's going on? Why hasn't this animal had a haircut? Amrulo, they said to this castor, to this government official, Bechorhu, it's a Bechor, Ve'eno neshchat ela imkein haya bomum, right? They couldn't slaughter it as, a regular barbecue carbon, meaning there's a carbon which is a Bechor, but in order to eat it, just regularly without bringing it as a carbon, you can, if it gets a mum, then you can, a Kohen can eat it in his own rishus. We had a Mishnah a couple of days back as to whether or not the Kohen can invite other people, which is actually going to be relevant for other things that we see here later on, Mishnah at the bottom of the Yamud, but then the Kohen can eat it completely fine. It's not a problem. He can eat the entire animal. So they mentioned to this guy, yeah, it's true. It's one of those animals. Since it doesn't have a mum, no one can eat it, basically, is what they told him. So you know what he did? Not al pigum. He took out a little spear, and he went up to the ear, Vitzari Mazno, and he basically damaged it. He caused a mum in this animal, this government official, non-Jewish government official, because he heard of this, said, okay, I'll help it along, I'll help it get to that point where it's a mum. And in fact, they took this, Uva Masa Lifnei Chacham, and they brought this in front of the rabbis, V'itiru, and they said, yes, it's completely allowed to eat this animal and slaughter this animal based on this mum, even though it's somewhat of a questionable mum, in that it was caused by this government official, and it seemed to have been done intentionally, right? Which is usually something that we're going to say, like we saw with the Hakazas Dam Mishnah and the daf that I gave, and the previous Mishnah on the daf that I didn't give in Lamed Dalet. Normally, when something's done intentionally, you cannot slaughter the animal based on that mum. However, in this case, it's not considered to be intentional. Now, what happens when you give a heter? People run with it. So, v'achar shi'itiru ha'ach v'tzirem v'aznei v'charoz acherim. After they gave this heter, the guy said, great. And he went around doing a Bechor damaging seminar. And he went to all the Bechoros in the city and messed with, some body parts of their, beat them up. And again, their ears, it says. And again, the Asru and the rabbi said, that's not allowed. This was already considered intentional. Next story. Pamachas, here's another time. Hayu tinokos misachkin besada, right? In those days, kids didn't have good toys to play with like they have nowadays. So what these children did is they took the kashru zan ve'tla'im zebazeh, and they decided they're going to tie the two tails together of, again, little sheep, v'nifzik aznavo shel echad mehem, and one of the tails fell off or got damaged in a significant way. I remember when we were learning Shabbos in Yeshiva, the Gemara has a discussion about what we call a psik reshe. For those of you who are not familiar, psik reshe is a logical question relating to Hilchos Shabbos that has a halachic point, which is that the Gemara talks about doing an action which, by doing that action, will automatically cause something else, then we have to be aware and cognizant of that action that it's going to cause, and you actually bear the halachic consequences of that second action. So as the Gemara asks this, it says, what? You think if you cut off a chicken's head, the chicken won't die? Psik reshe v'lo yamus. Now, one of the discussions there is if, why would you want a chicken's head? So they say, oh, it's so your kids can play with. And so I remember someone coming to me like, what? The kids were playing with chicken heads? So yes, kids were playing with chicken heads. Now they're bored. They decided to play with tails. And they, tie them together. And one of them, again, gets damaged. Varehu bechor. And in fact, it turns out that this animal, and the tail fell off, it was a Bechor. Uvam Asaf Nechama came to the rabbis, Vitiru, and they permitted it. Ra'u Shehitiru. People saw again that it was permitted. Halchu V'kashru Zanvos Bechor Zacherim V'asru. And again, this happened to everybody else. And they prayed it. Zeh HaKlal, says the Mishnah, Kol Shehu L'dato Asur, Shelo L'dato Mutar. anything which was intentional, lidato, Rashi talks about niskavin lahatiro, that's going to be prohibited. Anything which is shelo lidato, anything which is not intentional is going to be permitted. Sorry, did I say permitted the first time? Prohibited. Okay, so anything which is intentional is aser. Anything which is non-intentional is going to be mutter. Now, the Gemara is going to basically attempt to answer one major question, which is, the Mishnah gives us three times the same thing. First it tells us in one story form, then it tells us in another story form, and then it tells us in a rule. So the Gemara is essentially just going through is, why does it say this three times? So, first of all, we're going to focus on the question of the two cases against each other. Pam acheres haya. Says the Gemara, Utsricha, we need both cases. De'iash me'inan oved kochavim, de'lo asi le'mitzrach. Says the Gemara, we need all the cases. If you just told me the case of the goy, okay, of the castor, what would happen is, okay, we'd think it's that it's mutter in that case because the goy doesn't have any avera of making a mum on a bechor. We do. Jews do. However, the goy, he doesn't have any reason. So maybe you'd think that's why it's permitted there, the lo asi le'mitzrach, avakatan da asi le'mitzrach, but when it comes to a minor, someone who's not yet, you know, a full-fledged Jew, who if they were to do this when they got over bar mitzvah, it would be an avera. So you might think that there, the animal would not be allowed to be slaughtered based on this mum. So that's why you have, right, avakatan da asi le'mitzrach emalo. Therefore, you have both cases to tell you it's not just because it's an avera, going to be an avera in the future or not going to be an avera for the future. Either way, so long as it's unintentional, you're allowed to slaughter the animal based on this mum. And we continue the other way. V'yashmin on katan. Now let's say you just told me a katan, which at this point we're saying is, you know, really more of a chiddush, because the katan, even though later on, if he does this action, it's going to be something which is an avera. So for sure you would think that, you know, if a non-Jew did it, katan. So if we get to a katan, so you would think that if a katan did it, it, you know, would be a problem. Kamash malan that's mutter. So now, if we were just told katan, mishum de lo asi li'ichlufei bigadol, there you'd think, you know, the reason why it's permitted for a katan, says the Gemara, is very simple. You have two types of people here, and this is the way I explained it to the previous stuff, this is the way I understand this. When it comes to the non-Jew, Enoch Hanami is true, he's not Jewish, but he is a regular, normal bardas, he's above the age of whatever we would call majority, and a responsible, knowing person. So you might think the reason why he was mutter by a katan, you think it's because everybody realizes it's just kids playing in the field. However, if it was done by someone who's, you know, really, you know, older and above the age of majority, you would think that it would be aser, right? You would have said that in that case, you could not slaughter the animal based on a mum that's made by this Ovid Kochavim, because he is a knowing, you know, aware individual. And again, that's what the Gemara calls Yichlufi Begadol. Says the Gemara, so Tzricha, therefore you need both cases. You need the non-Jewish case to tell you that it's mutter, even when it's someone who's an adult. You need the minor case to teach you that it's even when there's a concern of an avera later on. Both cases are still mutter, so long as they were done unintentionally. Okay, so the general rule again, unintentionally, is good. Amar of Chista, Amar of Ketina. Lo shanu ela di amar le ela im kein haya bomum. Avalim amar le im naase bomum, kiman de amar le zil avid be mumadami. Now the Gemara is going to get into some technicalities. The Gemara says, okay, and this is Rav Chista, the name of Rav Ketina, who actually appears on the next Amud as well. What he says is, it depends on what you told this castor. When the castor came and said, what's going on with this animal? Why is it old? Why has it never had a haircut? What was told? So the Mishnah says, Ela im kein haya bomum. It can't be slaughtered unless it had a blemish. Says Rav Chista, the name of Rav Ketina, but if you told it, it can only be slaughtered if it gets a mum, then that's pretty much like you told the guy, go and make a mum, right? Because imkein haya bo mum sounds like it was something in the past, like it was born that way, so therefore he really didn't know that it was going to help when he made the blemish on this animal for the non-Jew. However, if you told him, unless a mum is made on it, that already is giving him enough of an indication to say that what he did was not entirely innocent. Says the Gemara, however, Amarava Michti. Rava says, no, Mimelahu. Both language is one of mimela. It's not really direct. Neither language is direct. We didn't tell the person it's a bechor until you make a mum in it. We told him it's a bechor unless a mum was made. Okay? That doesn't imply anything direct. So says Rava, mimelahu, mali haya, mali na'asa. What does it matter whether I say whether it had a mum or whether it will get a mum or whether it got a mum, I should say, really. Right? So he says, either way, ela nasa nami mimelahu. Nasa is also a language of indirect damage, veloshna, and therefore, even if you told the person, ela imkein nasa b'mum, and they decided to make a mum, that's still considered to be, again, this non-intentional type of mum, and the animal would still be allowed to be slaughtered for the Kohen individually based on such a mum that was given in the animal by this non-Jew. All clear? Any questions?
It seems to me that the non-Jew here is trying to be helpful to us because he thinks that he can help us.
No, we're not. It's like almost by luck. That's really the balance here is we can't be doing it directly enough to be helpful. But we can't also tell him about it.
No, I'm saying, but from his point of view, he's doing it because he wants to.
Presumably he understood that, yes. But again, to go and do that again and again and again would be a problem.
What's Rebbe's question? I mean, we have this Rebbe on Shabbos all the time.
So this we brought up at the first year as well. The truth is that Amir La'akum, that's more of a din in like Amira, saying it, not saying it, what's considered saying it. The general background is kind of the same. The svara is the same. The logic is the same. But here we're just trying to say, did you tell the guy to do it by doing it? And that's going to make it, again, lidato, knowing that if he does this, the bechor will be permitted. Right? That's the key point here. That really the point of no return is when the person knows that his action will cause the bechor to be permitted. Right?
Does he get to eat this animal?
The guy?
Yeah.
The machlokas b'shamay. Right?
Maybe he has an intention.
So that's exactly what the next mission is going to be about, but the problem is the goy doesn't know that. Right? So he can't really have a vested interest, because unless this goy knows, you know, more Gemara than us, he's probably not intending that.
But you can basically do this with any goy. You find 100 goy, you can do this 100 times over, each time you take a different goy, do a masich b'fituma, and you're
so
it's a good trick for the Jew to do this.
Yeah, but if the Jews, I mean, first of all, why would the goy do that? If the goy really doesn't know that that's going to permit it,
right?
If you're just saying elam kin haya bo mum, it's very unlikely that people would do this. It's a bit of a bizarre thing for them to do. Like, just because they're seeing your animal doesn't mean they're going to be, you know, a wild, you know, soldier who pulls out their, you know, sword or spear or whatever and damages your animal. It doesn't seem that there's a very likely circumstance.
He thinks you're hinting him to do it, but it's not good.
Well, that's the question. How far are you in it?
He thinks it's a hint that you're asking him indirectly
right.
to do it. Yeah.
Anyways, that's let's continue in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, right, the last point, Zeh HaKlal, okay, the summary of the Mishnah's rule, what's that coming for? Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shu L'das Aser, La'asuye Mai, asks to the Gemara, La'asuye Grama, right, as we said, again, just over a daf ago, Grama is also Aser. You might think, right, you'd say, Kol Shehu L'das, everything which is done intentionally is Aser. That includes if someone came and said, well, I'm not going to do it directly, but I want to do it, which is a case of Grama. The Gemara's case of that, by the way, if anybody remembers, was the Gemara's case of Grama to cause a mum? I'll give you a hint, it had to do with honey.
Yeah, the dog.
The dog, exactly. You get the dog to attack it by putting something very tasty on the animal. And that's considered a grama. Okay, so that's going to be prohibited also from this Mishnah. Shelo l'da'as, okay, la'asui emisiach l'fitumo. The case of shelo l'da'as is again, even, right, if the person wouldn't have asked, but you were just schmoozing and you're standing by at the side of your field and you say, oh, how are you doing? Great. And you mention, oh, you see that old goat there? Yeah, we're waiting for him to get a mum. You know, again, to whatever extent that's allowed based on the language that you're allowed to use, but even such a case, so long as it was unintentional on your part, again, if it was intentional on your part, that's not allowed. But so long as it's unintentional on your part, in that case, it will be permitted to slaughter an animal if the non-Jew makes a mum on it. All clear? Okay, let's continue to the next Mishnah. This is also a great Mishnah. It's a great case. And a shocking Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Hayah Bechor Radafo. If you had your Bechor very angry, bullfighting Bechor, and it starts chasing you. Okay? Ba'ato ve'asa bo mum. So what happens is you turn around and you kick it right in the ribs, and you made a mum. Harei zeh shochtin alav, says the Mishnah, that type of mum, it's okay. It's not considered like you made that mum, for whatever reason, as we're going to see, you know, exactly when this is taking place.
It's a defense.
But it's a mum that, according to the first opinion of the Gemara, is a defensive mum, not according to the second opinion of the Gemara, though. Well, again, we're going to see the case of the Gemara. There are actually two different approaches here. But the point is, this is not something that you did with the intention of making a mum so that your animal should be eaten, again, and be able to be slaughtered. Or not your animal, even someone else's animal. In such a case, again, you may slaughter the animal based on this mum. So Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa, there's two versions of Rav Papa here to begin the Gemara. Each one, you know, more interesting than the next. The first one says, Rav Papa's opinion is, Lo shanu ela sheba'ato bishas redifa. And this is the self-defense kick, which is what happens is it's chasing him. So he turns around and a little drop kick, boom, nails the animal in the head. The animal falls down, injured ear, injured whatever it was that makes it a mum. Plenty of things in the head that can make it a mum. And therefore, right, therefore that's a self-defense mum, and you're allowed to slaughter based on that. But if afterwards they caught the animal, and now you go over to the animal and you're angry, you say, achutzpah, you kick it and you give it a mum, says Rav Papa, that would be considered a real mum that you caused, and you'd not be allowed to slaughter the animal based on that. Says right, Avalach Redifa Lo. Says Igmar, Pshita, obviously. I mean, it's not chasing you anymore. Says Igmar, Mahu Detema, I would have thought, Sari Hu Demidkar, that maybe he's doing it. Why? Because he's angry at it. Revenge. That's what people feel like. And therefore, he's not doing it in order to cause it to become permitted. Kamash Malan, no. If he kicks it after it's done chasing him, it's not going to be a mum which you can allow it to slaughter based off of. However, Ika da Amri, there's another version of the Gemara. Amr of Papa, lo tima bishas redifa in aval shalo bishas redifa lo. Don't tell me that it's only at the time that it's being chased, but not when it's not being chased. No! Ela afilu la'acha redifa nami. Even once it's done chasing you, you get mad at it and you give it a kick. Still, it's going to be considered a mum that you can slaughter. Ma'taimat sa'arehu demidkar. And the Gemara uses this svara that I rejected originally and says, yes, Rav Papa says, you remember, you're kicking it angrily, out of anger, you're not kicking it to try to cause a mum, and therefore if you do cause a mum, you're allowed to slaughter the animal based on that. Okay. Next part is a little bit technical at times. It's a famous statement that I think we've come across a number of times in Bechoros up until now. Certainly in some cases. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Mutar lahatil mum bibichor kodem sheyetzi la'avir ha'olam. You should know that it's permitted to place a mum, to cause a mum on a bichor before it's born. Now, how are you going to do this? They didn't have, drugs in those days. You give it to the mother animal and the kid comes out, with defects. They gave her too much alcohol during the pregnancy. I don't know. How are you bimato mum by a bichor for an animal? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how to do it. Amar Rava, Gadya be'udne, imra bisaf vase. Okay? A goat, you can take the goat ears and damage them before the head has fully emerged, right? So as it's being born, as the head comes out, goats have very, very long ears, if you've ever seen them. And therefore, the ears will be sticking out. You'll be able to grab the ear and mess it up before the animal is legally born, before it comes out into the world, because this is at the tip of its head. Okay? And says the Gemara, a sheep, you can use bisaf vase, okay, which means its lips. You can damage it, and its lips, again, it's still not fully out at that point. Meaning its head, I guess, is not fully emerged. That's what it would seem to be. And therefore, that's the way you can cause a mum in these two places before it's considered legally born. And that way, it will be born a bechor bal mum. Okay? You got to be, skilled at this, though. So it says, Ika da Amri, there's an opinion of the Gemara, Imra nami bu'udne. Okay, that for a sheep, you can also cause a mum in its ears. The understanding is that it doesn't have such long ears like the goat, and therefore that might be a little bit hard. So Zimara Emor, Derech Tzedav Nafak. We'll say that it comes out, Derech Tzedav. What are Tzedav? If you look in Rashi, they're temples. What are temples? Temples. Because it comes out temples first. Apparently the ears are very, very close to the beginning of the head emerging from the birth canal, and therefore the ears will actually be visible first, even though if it were to emerge, I guess, from the back, maybe it would be longer, until the ears emerge. So therefore, this is still a good suggestion. Okay. Rava achal velo mi... Amar Rava. Rava says, achal velo michsi, pa'yu michsi, havi muma. If you had a case where the animal is eating, right, and you can watch it eat, okay, animals are fun to watch to eat, that's why kids go to zoos. They try to feed them. Animal's going, hum, hum, hum. and you can't see there's anything wrong inside its mouth. Nothing visible. However, pa'i, when it comes to scream or yawn, right, and it goes, ah, then you can see inside its mouth that it has some sort of damaged feature. Okay, in such a case, have a muma, that's considered to be a mum. Meaning, even though you're not seeing it on a regular basis, only when it's screaming or yawning or opening its mouth very, very wide, that's considered to be a mum. Ask the Gemara, my kamash malan. What's the chiddush and what are you saying, Tanina? We already learned this in a brisa. Hachutin achitzonos shenifkimu vishenigmimu hapnimios shenakru. That those are going to be considered mumin. This is a list of mumin. It basically means, you know, if you think of what's inside your mouth, you have certain chut and certain strings that you can think of that attach certain things in your mouth. Presumably the one up here behind your lips, I would guess, is one of those. But it also talks about gums, right? As Rashi says, shashinayim hagidolos kivuos bahen. Okay, where the big teeth are set into, which means someone's gums. So things that are in the back of your mouth, or in the sides of your mouth, or the bottom or top of your mouth, which normally can't be seen when you're eating, but when you're doing a big yawn or a big scream, they can be seen. So those particulars are considered mumin. So ask the Gemara, what's Rava coming to teach us? We learned it in a Braisa. Answers the Gemara, you're assuming Rava's coming to tell us a Chiddush. Wrong, right? And says the Gemara there, my time, Allah mishum d'chipayim, merci, is it not that these are considered mumin because when you yawn or when you scream and you open your mouth wide, it's visible? Amar of Papa, Rav Ana, mitama demas nisin mifarish. Rav is also explaining this to us. My tama nekru, have a muma. Why is it that nekru would be considered a muma? Okay, if these were taken out. Mishum d'chipayim, merci, because when it would open its mouth wide, it would be visible. Okay, so this is, up until now, we finished two mishnayos. Now we get to the really fun Mishnah, which we talked about before, which has a lot of contemporary applications in terms of believability, bias, vested interests, as we mentioned earlier. Someone mentioned it about the Goy. So now we're going to talk about Jews, regular Jews, Yisraelim, versus Kohanim, in actually shepherding these Bechoros, when they are believed and when they're not believed. Okay, that's the next Mishnah here. Says the Mishnah, Kol ha-mumin ha-ra'uyin lavo bidei adam, any mum which can technically be inflicted by a person. Okay, so obviously there's some mumin that can't be inflicted by a person after it's born. For example, you can't make suddenly, you know, certain parts of his body grow larger than other parts, or things like that. You can't make it be born with an extra toe if it's already born. However, certain things obviously you can. Like, again, going back to our example of the ear. So, in those cases, ro'e Yisrael ne'emanin, ro'im kohanim, or ro'e kohanim einan ne'emanim. Okay? So, Jewish shepherds, or shepherds of Yisraelim, okay, again, when I say Jewish here, I mean not that Kohanim aren't Jewish, but just regular Yisrael, I should say. Israelite shepherds, or shepherds of Israelite, the Gemara is going to discuss, what does it mean, Ro'e Yisrael? Okay, Ro'e here, by the way, is with a Yud, not with a He, like we say in benching about Hashem, who is the shepherd of Israel, but no, these are Israelite shepherds. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss whether it means shepherds of Yisraelim, or Yisraelim that are themselves shepherds. They are believed, ro'im kohanim, and again, the opposite, which is, if either the shepherds are kohanim, or shepherds of kohanim, again, we'll be discussing the Gemara, ein ne'emanim, those people are not believed. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, ne'eman hu al shel chaver, ve'in ne'eman al shel atzmo. Shimon Gamliel says, the Kohen is believed on his friend's korban, on his friend's bechor, but not on his own. What? But not on his own, correct? Rabbi Meir Omer, Achasher al Adavar lo danu v'nol ma'ido. However, Meir says, completely case closed. Anytime someone is suspect to do anything wrong, you can't judge in such cases, and you can't be a witness even in those cases. So he's saying, so long as there's any concern that the person may inflict a wound on this Bechor, and say that, oh, it just happened, then they're completely not believed. Okay? So, says the Gemara, here's our big machlokes as to whether or not Roi Yisrael and Roi Kohanim refer to the person who owns the animals or refer to the actual shepherds themselves. Rabbi Yochanan bar Elazar, says the Gemara, Chad amar Roi Yisrael bei Kohanim ne'emanim, liligim alo chayshinan, Roi Kohanim bei Yisrael ein ne'emanim. Meimar amar kevan tichat tarachna bei lo shavik lididiv yav lachrin. And I'll read that in smaller pieces. Roi Yisrael bei Kohanim ne'emanim. Jewish, or again, Israelite, I should say, Yisraeli shepherds, who are shepherding animals of Kohanim, those are the people who are believed, meaning they understand Roi Yisrael to mean shepherds who are themselves Yisraelim. Why? Lilagim alo chayshinan. We learned a couple of Mishnayos ago, as we said earlier, that Beis Hillel is of the opinion, in both opinions of Beis Hillel, that regular Israelites may join in on a Bechor, which is a Balmum. Okay? And if that's the case, maybe we would assume the Yisrael is going to inflict this wound, because he knows, as someone who's working for the Kohanim, he's going to get a nice barbecue tonight. So the Gemara, no, lilegim alo chayshinan. Because the Israelite, the Yisrael, is not benefiting directly from it, meaning, so in that case, says the Mishnah, we're not choshesh that he's going to actually inflict a wound. However, roi kohanim be Yisrael, if you have kohanim who are shepherds of a Yisrael's animals, in ne'emanim, they are not believed. Meimar amar, why? Because they're going to say, kevent katarachna be lo shavak lididi v'yayiv le'achrini. Because these kohanim are going to say what? I'm a kohanic shepherd working for a Yisrael. Who's the Yisrael going to give his animal to? Obviously to me. So therefore we are concerned and we do suspect that Kohanim will actually go ahead and cause this mum and lie about it.
Because we're going to get, the two cases are, the Kohen is just going, the Kohen is a shepherd.
For Yisrael's animals.
For Yisrael's animals actually going to benefit from the wealth of
correct,
the
animal, correct.
The other guy's just going to get a barbecue, it's not a big deal.
Right, I mean, and he may get a barbecue. We don't know, yeah. Right? We don't know that they're going to give the shepherd a little piece. They don't know if he's going to give him a steak.
So it's just not as much.
Right. Not as much as steak seems to be, but that's the way they explain the Mishnah.
No pun intended.
Okay. Pun intended.
Okay.
I think we'll have to knock that from the recording. You know, bad puns are not allowed on YU Torah. Okay. Says the Gemara, by the way, to continue... Right, v'hu adin, kohen l'kohen, d'chashin l'gomen. So too, if a kohen was shepherding the animals of a kohen, meaning it all depends on who the shepherd is. So even if the kohen was shepherding kohen animals, so now, if it gets a mum, who's it going to go to? The owner. So you might think that that's a good reason to say, you know what, in that case, he'd be allowed to. Says the Gemara, no. D'chashin l'gomen, we're scared they're going to trade off. Ah, you caused a mum for my animal, very good. So I'll give you one once in a while, you know, to keep you pacified. You know, you're doing a great job of making sure all my animals get mumin, wink, wink. Okay, so that's why it all depends on who the shepherd is. This is the first opinion. Roshin Gamliel is a slightly more makel opinion, right? Yes. To say that, neman hu al shel chaver oveinu neman al shel atzmo, that you're permitted to and you're believed about your friend, meaning even a kohen to another kohen is going to be believed. That's Rosh Hashanah Galil's opinion, Vayner Neman Al Shel Atzmo, but you're not going to be believed about your own animals. And finally, Vaser Rav Meir Lameima, Rav Meir comes and says, Hechashud Al Hadavar Lo Danuv Lo Me'ido. Completely, again, blanket Isser to believe in any case. Okay, now, the Gemara is going to go through this in just a moment as we turn the Amud. The next Amud, by the way, is very short, which is why I took a chunk of time on this. I'm watching the clock. Okay. B'chad Amar, the other opinion of the Gemara is, Ro'e Yisrael V'hein Kohanim, Ne'emanim. He says, no. What does it mean, Roe Yisrael? Roe Yisrael means these are the shepherds of Yisraeli animals. And who are the shepherds? Kohanim. Why? Why are they going to be believed? Meimar Amar, because the Kohan will say, Lo Shavik Turva Mirabanan V'yahiv Lididi. He'll say, what? This Kohen who's serving as a shepherd for the Yisrael's animals will say, he's for sure going to give it to the Chashva Kohen. Why would he give it to me when he could give it to Rabbi Korobkin? Rabbi Korobkin is a Tzur Meir Banan, is a big Tamil Chacham. Obviously, this person would prefer to give it to the bigger, more Chashav Kohanim. So therefore, they say there's no concern that people will think that the Kohen is inflicting wounds because he's going to get something from it. It's not. It'll go to Rabbi Korobkin. Okay? Roi Kohanim. What does it mean, Roi Kohanim? Vehein Yisrael. It's a Kohen's animal, and these are Yisraelim. Einan Ne'emanim are not trusted, Dechayshin and Elegima, because we are Choshesh for what the other one was in Choshesh, that the Yisrael is going to make sure the Kohen's animals get moving so he can have a nice piece of steak. The Kol Shekinah says, Gemara Kohen LeKohen. And all the more so, from one Kohen to another Kohen, Dechayshin and Legomlin V'chayshin and Elegima. Right? If a Kohen is watching the Kohen's animals, then Kal V'chomer is going to be Aser. Why? There you have not only Legima, because he's working for him, that legima, I think, literally means swallowing, by the way. Somebody asked that earlier. But it means that you're going to share with him at the barbecue. But they were also worried that, again, they're going to pay each other back in some fashion and provide this, okay? And that's the way the Gemara reads. It's, whatever, there's a machlokas as to why you should have the word delo here, but this is the way we're going to read it. Vaser Rav Shimon Lameimar, Rav Shimon comes along to say, Neman al shel chaveiro veino neman al shel atzmo. And Rav Shimon says, again, it depends on who's Bechoros, you're watching. If it's your own, you're not trusted. If it's someone else's, you are. And Rav Meir says, no, completely usher all the way through. So it actually turns out that a Kohen, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, a Kohen watching Yisrael's animal is believed. right? Completely believed. The next step, Reb Shimon comes and tells us, only believed on other people's stuff, not on his own. And finally, the last case is Reb Meir coming and saying, not believed whatsoever. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go back to the previous option and try to explain a big problem that we have with it. Namely, okay, Bishlam alaman damar roi Yisrael v'hein kohanim, which was our second case, ne'emanim, that they're believed, tainu das Reb Meir, le'meimar achashol adavar lo danav lo me'ido. That's why Reb Meir is coming along and disagreeing with the Tanakama. Tanakama says the kohanim are allowed to be, our kohanim are believed, and Reb Meir eventually comes along and says, not believed whatsoever. Elaman damar roi kohanim be'Yisrael, ein ne'emanim. But according to the first way we read it, which is that we're talking about roi kohanim be'Yisrael, where Kohanim are not believed according to the Tanakama, my Asi Rav Meir Lashmi Inan, Hainu Tanakama. Then Rav Meir's opinion is going to coincide with the Tanakama's, meaning the first Tana of the Mishnah says Roi Kohanim means shepherds who are Kohanim. If the shepherds who are Kohanim are not believed according to the Tanakama, what's Rav Meir coming to tell us? They're not believed. What's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, Ika Beinayhu de Rabbi Yoshua ben Kefusai. The difference between them is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufusai. Tanya Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufusai Omer, Bechor be Kohen tzar shnai min hashuk leha'ir alav. If a Bechor is by a Kohen and it comes back again with a mum, okay, you need two people from the shuk to be made that this came about by accident and was not caused by the person themselves. And how do you get these two people? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, afilu beno afilu bito. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, it can be anybody. It can even be family members of this Kohen. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, afilu asara v'hein b'nei beisto ein me'idin alav. Even if there were 10 people, so long as they are members of the Kohen's family, they're considered too close to him, and they cannot be believed in this case. So that's going to be the difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Meir. Tanakama is going to hold, so long as you've got other people on the outside that are testifying for him, that's fine. Right? Even if they're members of his family. But Rabbi Meir says, no. Kol achashar l'davar lo dano v'lo me'ido. Since these are all Kohanim and all members of the family, Kohanim cannot testify that this mum was caused naturally as opposed to by the person themselves. We will not believe them. And that's going to be the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakam according to that read of the Mishnah. All clear?
When people are testifying...
One second. Yes, one, then two.
When people are testifying, do they mean that they saw the animal bump into the fence?
Yes.
Or they don't have any reason to believe...
No, we're talking about they saw the animal bump into the fence.
We have some kind of Hesed Kashrus by Kohanim. There's Rizos, there's,
The Gemara kind of deals with that at the end.
You think that would, that would give them Dalach Haschus to them, and that?
Well, listen, these are general rules which we see about Ne'emanos, and I think we need no examples of cases where very straight Yashar people,
okay,
for money, end up doing things like this.
I'm saying halachically, in terms of being a Gela Dover, that you could say that no matter how many people testify, that if they're all members of his household, that it's still not going to be believed. It's really arm's length.
I don't see the problem at all, really. It fits right in with what we learn in the rest of the Torah, that people that are related to these things cannot be involved.
But I'm saying by Kohanim is a special thing, which we say that they're...
Not when they're directly involved. Just like if they're... Would you say, a Kohen's getting married, so let the brother be an eight, because Kohanim have a cheskas kasher. I mean, it fits in logically with what we're saying. You're right. As I said, there is going to be something later on in the Gemara which you will appreciate in this regard.
Right.
But I don't hear that in terms of a general rule to say, believe Kohanim because they're Kohanim. No. There are plenty of Kohanim that are, not the greatest people either. I don't see why the Gemara should have such a svar. Okay, now we get on to the next case. We get back to Rav Chista Amar Rav Katina, although a different thing is said. Keman az lahad Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav Katina, Safek bechor shenolad beYisrael tzar shnayim min hashuk lehayid alav. Who does this go like when Rav Chista says in the name of Rav Katina that if you have a Safek bechor, anybody know what the status of a Safek bechor is if he gets a mum? Who does it go to? A Yisrael. A Safek Bechor, if it gets injured, if it gets a mum, is eaten by the Yisrael. Okay? Otherwise, it stays with the Kohen. So says Rav Chisna and Rav Katina, if you had a Safek Bechor, you need two people from the Shuk to be made that, again, it got the mum naturally and was not caused by the owner, the Yisrael himself. Says the Gemara, Keman, Rav Yeshua ben Kefusai. This follows the opinion of Rav Yeshua ben Kefusai, who says that just like by a Bechor with a Kohen, if the Kohen would cause the mum, he would benefit, so therefore we have to get two guys to check him out. So to hear by a Safek Bechor, where the Yisrael would get the benefit, we need two guys to check him out. Rav Nachman Amar, no. Baalim me'idin alav. Just having the regular Yisraelim there, that's more than good enough. You don't need two extra people by the case of Safik Bechor. Dilote mahachi, if you don't say this, maser l'remer me'id alav. He says, 1 second. When it comes to a maser, okay, who has the karban currently?
The owner.
And what happens if it gets a mum? The guy can bring it home for his barbecue at home. He no longer has to bring it as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Correct? So says Rav Nachman, I'll prove to you that you can trust the owners. Because otherwise, who would you turn to in terms of a maser? Everybody in the shuk is on that same status as the owner, meaning they're a Yisrael. They'd all be allowed to eat it. If they were in the same position, we'd consider them all to be, again, nogea bedavar, as you put it. Right? So if that's the case, who's going to testify on such an animal? It would physically be impossible to ever have such an animal be getting a mum. It would just be left in suspense forever. So says Rav Nachman, obviously you see that by a Safik Bechor, the same rule would apply and you can just trust the owners as well. Now says the Gemara, no, Maser is not a good proof. Why? Maser vaday mehemen. Maser certainly believed, as we said at the end of the last parak, before you go and take the maser, count, you can actually give a mum to every one of your animals, and then you'll never have to worry about bringing a karban. So because of this, you know, almost like a migu, since you're saying, I could have done this, so we believe you just by yourself by a maser, and Rav Chesdam, Rav Katina, still has, you know, a way to defend themselves against Rav Nachman. So ask the Gemara, Elasafik b'char l'Rav Meir mimeid alav. So again, what about a Safik Bechor? At the end of the day, according to Rav Meir, you'll still have no one who's allowed to see the Safik Bechor and allowed to testify on it. Vechite ma'achinam, and if you're going to say to less, like Takanta, then in fact, we're stuck in suspense forever. V'hatanan, but we learned in the Mishnah, Shai Rav Yossi Omer, Kol she Chalifa b'yad Kohen, Pater min ha-matanos. In any case where you had Chalifa b'yad Kohen, you're Pater min ha-matanos. And if you look in Rashi here, okay, Chalifa b'yad Kohen means a Safik Bechor, basically, as Rashi points out. And Rav Meir says, you're Mechayev, right, for Rav Meir, Mechayev. Rav Meir says, you're Chayev to give Matanos to the Kohen. Now, if this animal is in limbo, are you allowed to give Matanos to the Kohen? Absolutely not. If we're not sure if it's allowed to be eaten, how can he possibly say, give Matanos to the Kohen? So we see that Rav Meir does believe there's a way for this to be okay. So this is the proof to Rav Nachman to say that, Alashmamina abalin me'idin alav. When it comes to a Safik Bechor, even the owners themselves are allowed to testify, and we believe them that they didn't cause the Bechor directly, intentionally. All clear? Okay, so this is why we support Rabbi Nachman over here. Now, and the only people that are Chashid, according to Rabbi Nachman, are Kohanim. Kohanim we worry about, Yisraelim that we don't worry about, I guess, because it's less regular of a case. Now, Itmar, Rav Nachman Amar Halacha Kerb Shimon Ben Gamliel, back in this little brisa here, okay? Rava Amar Halacha Kerb Yossi. Do we paskin like Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, who says even family members can come and testify? Do we paskin like Kerb Yossi, who says no matter how many family members are there, it doesn't matter? So we say that Rav Nachman says Halacha follows Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, and Rava says Halacha is like Kerb Yossi, that they can't testify no matter how many they are. Says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rava Hachi? Did Rava really say this? V'ha Amar Rava Baalim Omdim Imanu Bachutz. If you have the owner standing outside with us, outside, let's say, the barn or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Nichnas shalem v'yatza chavul. If it entered in whole and came out with a mum, me'id in a love. They can be made on it. They can testify about it. So we see that Rava clearly does allow the Kohen's family to testify in such cases. So how can we say that he holds halachas like Rabbi Yossi? That's against what we have this other memor of Rava. Ema says the Gemara, kol balim omdin v'lo chayshinan. Says the Gemara, well, we can still make them fit. Why? We'll say that in the case that Rava permitted it, he says, kol balim omdim imanu bachutz. If the entire family, not one single individual is missing, then we can trust it. Why? Because who's on the inside to cause the mum? No one. So that's how we could make them fit, and then therefore he would still say they're not fit to testify. Says the Gemara, right? Iachi mailam emra. Okay, then what would be the chiddush whatsoever there by the case of everybody's around? What could possibly be the concern? My time on echush lechashada kamash malan. We might think, and again, the simple way to read this is to say that we'd worry for some sort of conspiracy theory where they have someone on the inside, you know, doing dirty work for them. Kamash malan, we don't worry about that. When they're all there, it's permitted. However, Rava in general would say, like Rabbi Yossi, that you can't have Kohanim testifying on this. Now, and we in fact pasken like Rishim and Gamliel, v'dafka bino uvito, and it's specifically children of this person that are allowed to be made in that case where you need two people from the shuk. Aval ishto lo, but his wife cannot. My taima ishto kigufo dami. We say ishto kigufo, and that applies to say that the woman, his wife, cannot be made in the case where he's already saying something. His wife would really, I guess, cover for him. Amar le Rav Papa la Abaye. Rav Papa said to Abaye, le Rav Meir da Amar, achashar lo davar lo donav lo meido. According to Rav Meir, who we said earlier, if he's suspect on something, you're not allowed to judge and you're not allowed to testify about it. But we also have another thing that Rav Meir said. Someone who is suspect for one thing is suspected on being over kol ha'tara kula. Meaning, if we know someone does an avera, we assume that that applies to all the averas. They just have a general disregard for Torah. So ask the Gemara, right? Kula, right? Chashu l'kol ha'tara kula. Kohanim hachinami lo daini dina? Says, are you going to tell me Kohanim can't ever judge? Kohanim can't ever take part in court cases? Because that would be the logical conclusion. We're saying they're chashud to make a mum on a bechor. And we're saying that once you're chashud on anything, according to Rav Meir, chashud al kol tzar kula. And Rav Meir says they can't testify, they can't judge. How can that be, though? Be'aksiv, it says in the Torah, written outright, ve'alpiyam yeko rivichal naga, that the Kohanim are the ones that judge. Says the Gemara, Amar damar Rav Meir lechashasha le'achzukinu mi'amar. He says, when it comes to Rav Meir, chashul davarachad chashul kol tarakula, it doesn't mean when we suspect that maybe the person put a mum on the animal and he's intentional and he's covering up for it. That's not what Rav Meir says when he says chashul davarachad chashul tarakula. He says chashul davarachad where it's known, it's a chazaka that this person does this avera. For example, this person is muhsak to be do whatever where shatn is. So fine, that's where Rav Meir says he's chashud l'chol ha'tara kula. But just in this case where we're concerned that something may be going wrong, and the person may be inflicting mumin, that's not enough to say that he would be chashud l'chol ha'tara kula according to Rav Meir. And we'll end here saying that even according to Rav Meir, Kohanim are still fit to judge cases and be witnesses.